Hey, C-Lab fans, listen up, because I've got some great news for you. All over, executives are scrambling to find effective ways to retain customers and increase product engagement. What's the solution? Training customers right from the start. But without the proper tools, that's easier said than done. So let me tell you about Gainsight CE, the game changer in digital customer education. Gainsight CE blends the dynamic nature of digital learning with the importance of meeting those intrinsic human needs that accelerate user adoption, deepen product understanding, and drive customer success, all without sacrificing that personalized attention your customers long for. Say goodbye to time-consuming and hard-to-track one-on-one trainings, endless emailings of PDFs, and help center links. And the best part, your learning program can be embedded seamlessly in your platform. Don't take my word for it. Industry leaders like Walmart, Pipedrive, Glassdoor, and Freshworks choose Gainsight CE for their customer training program. So get started today. Visit gainsight.com/customer-education and tell them Adam and Dave sent you. Welcome to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and the bad advice that stops growth dead in its track. I'm your host, Dave Darrington, and today I'm honored this extremely special episode to us, our special guest star, Jeffrey Moore. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm a pleasure. I'm doing fine, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. I'm really excited about this. Really glad to have you on the show today. So let's get warmed up. I always do this fun part first, which is a little, you know, we call it the days of the year. I always have this problem on my teleprompter. Today's day of the year. This is where we just laugh and have a good time. International Sushi Day. I didn't know. Sushi Day.
Okay. I love sushi. This is great.
This is great. And there's a couple other good ones here. Autistic Pride Day, you know, that affects my family. I don't know about Texas cowboy poetry.
Oh, yeah. Well, the skies are not cloudy all day.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's stop presenting that. Let's get to the meat of the discussion. So what I'd like to intro this episode about and get you to talking about, Jeff, is you back, I don't know, several years ago, a friend of mine said, there's this book, you've got to read this book. You know, I've got it right here. It's going to get blurred out by my green screen. Crossing the Chasm. And that's the hook and the start for today, but it's not where I want to end. You, Jeff, have a long list of books. You have a great resume. You've got so many, you're such an important person in our startup and you know, tech ecosystem. So, you know, you've written Guerrilla Game, Inside the Tornado, and you've got a new one coming out, Infinite Staircase, that I'm interested in hearing about. To intro you, and then you can take the stage, author, speaker, advisor, this is why we're really excited to talk with you. You split your time particularly between startups and your venture, your Wildcat Venture Partners organization, but then Salesforce, Microsoft, Autodesk, F5, Gainsight, I used to work there, Google. You know, welcome, Jeff. This is great to have you on.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And education is a love of mine. I started out as a professor, and I would argue that my entire work is essentially educational in one way or another.
That's really important to me. And I caught that when I started reading your works and following you online. So I think we can have I've been a professor as well, not the same level of you. I actually taught video game design and event management and those rather business topics, but I love it. You know, when you're a teacher, you find your inner teacher. It's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me do this and then I want to ask you a series of questions. And given your immense background in technology, in particular your teaching background, I think we have a really good conversation. Good. So here's where we're going to start. I think that there are some profound challenges today of keeping up. And we know that rapid pace of technological change is just outstanding right now. There's never been a time where you pose with learning more and seeing more things. At C-Lab, this is, you know, it's been our podcast we've done for 6 years now. My co-host is Adam Evermescu. He's been at Slack and Salesforce, and where I've been out at Gainsight and Azuqua and Outreach and been working in this tech space, right? We have seen this rise of something called customer education. In fact, Adam wrote a book on it. And we've seen this focus now, a renewed focus on saying, oh my gosh, we've got to teach, we've got a problem. How are people going to use our platform, our product? Really, and it's never been more serious. My entree to this is I was working at Gainsight. Well, before I came to work at Gainsight, I was a management consultant, business analyst, project manager. I've been doing all these things. I've been teaching in university. And I find this opportunity where we had a challenge, a business challenge. It's people can't use the software. It's too hard. Okay. And that started my journey, which was really hard. And it made me learn a lot of different things. Where I'm getting into this is that I think education's been an afterthought for a lot of businesses as they grow because we grow so fast. And I have a hypothesis. So we can test this today. That is, technology has outpaced our ability to use traditional methods of education and learning. And I think I want to stop it there and get you to talk. So,
sure. Okay. Well, you know, I think part of the challenge with the education ambition is this technology. So my life's work's organized around the technology adoption lifecycle.
Right.
And the principle of that model is there are these four stages in the adoption of a technology, which have very different characteristics. So there's the early adopters, and then we have this crossing the chasm with pragmatists. We call them pragmatists in pain. They've got a very challenging use case that they're trying to deal with. And then you have the what we call the tornado, which is when everybody says we're going to adopt the new infrastructure. Then you have Main Street, which is, okay, now we're just going to take better, faster, cheaper. The point about it from an education point of view is the way you educated each of those four things is different. And we tend to think we have one education department and one approach to education. So that early market really does need to know about the product, how the product works. They want product education. Nobody else does.
Yes.
So that first one, and by the way, you know, entrepreneurs are pretty good at it. That's not really the problem. When you cross the chasm, the problem is the customer does not want to know about your product. The customer has a problem. And what they want to do is fix their problem. So the education has to reorient and say, I have to start with a deep dive with the customer into the nature of their problem and then gradually migrate them to my solution. But I have to spend most of my time in their vocabulary and their world and their return on investment and only bring my stuff in late. Most tech companies say want to get to the demo and make their own presentation about themselves. Neither of those are helpful at all. So there's a barrier to crossing the chasm you have to overcome. Then you get to the tornado. Well, the tornado is when everybody has budget to buy the new stuff. Now you're back to talking to people who want to compare products. So now you're back to saying, okay, I need to educate you about the product, but it's more about competitive product and ecosystems and why would you get, you know, OpenAI as opposed to Anthropic, as opposed to Gemini,
right?
To, you know, the next guy in the world, and so the challenge there is you're kind of educating the analysts. It's much more of an industry orientation. And then the last one is end users on Main Street, and they really do want to have more success with your product. And that's where the customer success guys at Gainsight can have, you know, that's where they started, right? They said, okay,
we'll help
you use our product. So the point I guess I want to say is, and the thing I think I learned as a teacher, and you've been a teacher, education starts with the student, not with the teacher. You're trying to change the behavior of the student, not trying to execute your own agenda. Unfortunately, most teachers, including a lot of bad teachers, have no interest in the student. They just want to educate their agenda. So anyway, I'll stop. But that's
sort of I don't want you to stop, Jeff, because this is... In just a few moments, you have articulated so better than any of us could do the challenges that we're experiencing and we feel, me in my role, I feel this every day because I think, and okay, a conversation of my that Adam and I have had been having over time is about strategy, where there's a lot of folks come in and say, hey, you know, it's about strategy. You have to have a strategy for customer education, educating your customer. And I go, well, yes, that's obvious, but it doesn't quite work like that. Where you said you didn't say the word, but culture. What is the native language of your organization that you're working with? What is their, I like to use a more hippie term, vibe, you know? Yeah. So for instance, now, Jeff, I've been consulting and I've had the opportunity to go out in a vast market to see so many different environments. and everyone is different. And, you know, one, for example, I've been working internationally. The culture is tremendously different. The way people learn, the way they want to learn, the way they'll try things is different than what I would expect in, let's say, Palo Alto, California, if I did a training at one of my clients, right? So I think what I'm getting to here is you and I both see this. You talked about the CSM. I'm going to pop up the screen, and I want to show you something that I've been doing. And you know, maybe I'll be embarrassed or maybe not. So as you can see down here, of course, by Jeffrey Moore, I'm giving you attribution everywhere I go. This is something that I talk about when we're doing consult or training work in education for SaaS and startups, where, you know, down here, like you had said, people are coming to you. It's okay. We got this. Training happens because all of us are going to do it. We don't need a person then.
Yep.
But then the early adoption, you know, that's okay. It's still relatively, I can manage it. I don't have to go out and hire somebody special. But here, the chasm, and as we get here, the problems change tremendously for us. So me as an educator, here versus here versus here versus here, have completely different things that I'm trying to do and achieve. So
so stay with that for a second. I think it's an important comment to make. So in the right-hand side of this diagram, people are buying outcomes, right? One of the phrases we use in the venture world is we talk about, well, why would you fund this new startup? I mean, it's got really cool technology, but where's the value? So we talk about something called trapped value. So trapped value is, in the current system of doing things, there's some amount of value that's trapped by the current status quo. Where it is, and the customer wants to invest in the new technology as a way of releasing the trapped value. So if you say, instead of thinking about, I'm going to educate you about my product, you start thinking about and this is where I think strategy would matter. So what trapped value are we in the business of releasing, of helping our customers release and get the benefit of? Okay. Right. Now, how does our product intersect that trap value? So what does their end users have to do with our product in order to release that trap value? But that's what I mean about starting with the customer's orientation and working back to us. There's just this really strong instinct to say, no, I want to tell you about me. And then at the very end, we'll talk about how you apply me to you. And by the time you get to that part of the thing, the person's eyes have glazed over because they're not interested in you.
Okay, well, I'm going to take this off the screen, and now I have something really, this is the meat of the conversation I wanted to have with you, Jeff, that let's talk about that a little bit more, because this is where we've actually wrote a manifesto called the Customer Education Manifesto, which I'm not going to bring it up on the screen, but I'll share it as a link, but it emphasizes exactly what you're talking about. The customer is in pain. They need to do something. They need to get outcomes. We need to think differently. So I'm kind of wanting to talk to you as a teacher now that you talked about this. Hey, I'm going to tell you about me. I'm me for a half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, this is why webinars don't work. It's, I would rather get on a call with you or build a coursework that gives you in very tight morsels, this concept. Oh, you need to learn about the job a little bit more. Companies don't think about that. You know, Gainsight, we talked a lot about how do we educate the administrator role, the customer success role. So tell me more about what you're thinking about that approach. Like, what have you seen people do successfully or not in aggregate as you look across the landscape?
And yeah, but this, I can go all the way back to when I was an English professor because—
Oh, please, Seth.
Go back, but it's the same problem, which is, look, you're an English professor. I happen to have expertise in medieval and Renaissance literature. Okay, great. I love it. Chaucer, Shakespeare, I'm all there. Okay, so as a teacher, part of you says, I need to do justice to my topic. I can't have the person say, yeah, Shakespeare, cool dude, you know. So there's that. But on the other hand, if I go 100% to my topic and I just fixate on what I'm passionate about, the early adopter kids in my classroom will get it. They're the ones who believe what I believe. They love Shakespeare too, great. Right? But most of the class will be kind of glazing out on their iPhones because I didn't connect with them. So the other way you can go is to say, no, forget about Shakespeare. Let's start. Why is the kid in the, why should the kid even be sitting in the classroom in the first place? What outcome are they supposed to get from a class in Shakespeare? Turns out that's a really tough question to answer. But when you start to answer that question, you say, okay, so then what has to happen in the classroom in order to facilitate that outcome? Now, but I have to work with the kid that I got. And so I can't ask the kid to be somebody that he's not. So if you go over rotate too far that way, you lose your credibility with the content. So,
right.
Education's a challenge because you have these two, you know, rival competing motives, and you need to honor both of them, and you need to actually bring them together. So I think the mistake we make in Silicon Valley, at least, and I think in the tech sector, we're way over rotated to product education and way under rotated to customers' empathy. And so we just need to, we need to go, it's not a revolution so much as it's an evolution to say, guys, you got to get closer to the center of this spectrum.
This episode is brought to you by TechSmith.
That's right, TechSmith. You know them from Snagit and Camtasia. Snagit lets you create images, GIFs, and videos to show others exactly what you see. And Camtasia is the famous screen recording and video editing software made easy.
Yeah, I love it, Adam. You know, I have to say my story here is that Camtasia kind of saved my soul. When I was working, trying to build my first program, I discovered Camtasia and other TechSmith products, and I needed something that was relatively inexpensive, easy to use, and powerful. Overnight, I went from doing tedious editing, recording, and just whatever I had available to me alone with little coaching, being able to make really super high quality videos in a short amount of time.
That sounds amazing. And so if you want to create and share images and videos for better training, tutorials, lessons, and everyday communication, you can do that at techsmith.com. That's techsmith.com.
I like that a lot. I want to riff on that a little bit more. And I love how you talked about that student, because when I was a professor, one of the things, and this is really geeking out, that I did, I'll try to keep it short, I actually built a website based off PHP and Python with a database and some stuff in the back end. But I made it be an experience about the outcome of this class I was teaching was an introduction to video game design. Okay. And it was about, well, how do you entree to that? What makes me qualified to teach it? Well, I don't know. We get the side on that. I got really into that at one point. But what the student wanted out of that is that they said, I'm really interested in this, and I want to learn the art of the possible. What can I do? What can I learn? And what direction can I go off into? So we made the class less about canonical, here's the book, and we had a book, right? But we made it experiential. So I said, come up and teach me something about the games you're playing, because you have the time, you're a kid, you're doing this stuff. And the outcome of that was that when we all made a game design profile or game design model at the end, oh my gosh, Jeff, the amazing quality of the material that we got out of that and what students did with that after actually making the games absolutely blew my mind as a professor and a teacher.
Yeah.
We hit it, but it was an outcome. And that wasn't me just talking.
No, this engaging and enlisting the participant in the education, and we call them a student, but they're in business, they're not normally a student, but the end user or whoever you're going for, you know, that's what good teachers do instinctively, and right. it's what people who are not comfortable with teaching struggle with, because you know, if there's no fun like staring out at a group of people and they're looking at you, but they're like dogs watching television. I mean, they're not seeing anything, and it's that feels pretty awful. But I do think, I think, and I, going back to this notion of what you learned at Gainsight, with the customer success management company, is the SaaS model in particular, it's a land and expand model. So you need to expand in order to make that thing make any money. And in order to expand, you need to have the usage be virally expansive. Both the user wants to buy more stuff and you want more seats. So it's both more users and more consumption. And so that means you've got to connect without, the user has to experience outcomes in order to expand. That's just, and it's so hard because the engineer says, well, my product does that. And you want to say, yes, but the user's not doing that. And so they're not consuming your product, even though it's available to them. And so, what's going on? And it does get into some user interface design. And there's some other things you can do with the product to make it take away some of the barriers. But at the end of the day, the outcome, it's still outcomes. And the problem, the thing that's great about SaaS is you have telemetry, which gives you clues to whether they're getting the outcomes or not. It doesn't really tell you if they're getting the outcomes, but their usage patterns gives you pretty good clues. And
yes.
That was transformative, because when I started in this industry, you had no feedback except, offline. You never got any feedback on telemetry. And so that was a big change.
That was a massive change. Well, okay, let's focus on that. We've got all these things running through my head. I wish we had hours to talk, maybe in the future. But what do you think about the hypothesis I said? Do you think we are unable to keep up with education right now? And in the status quo education, I'm talking about you and I as teachers.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about that as an industry leader?
I mean, there's always more to teach than you possibly can teach.
Right.
And by the way, the technology is mutating, Gen AI being the current thing, right? I mean, it's mutating so fast, we're not even quite sure what to do with it. So what I've been spending time with my clients on is saying, look, the technology is changing faster than you can keep up with right now, but the problems are not. Okay. So if you say, look, start with the problem, start with the outcomes, and then try to attach it to the current version of the technology, or even n minus one. I mean, if n minus one could make a dent in the problem, that would be progress.
Yeah.
Because to try to, and then to try to keep your customer up to date on technology is just like, it's not going to happen.
Right. Well, this is where I'm curious to see what you're thinking about with Gen AI and other things. Here's something that I get as an objection from CEOs that I talk to about, okay, let's set it up and, hey, I'm Dave. I'm your educational consultant. I've done this for decades. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've been a professor, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm here to help. And then I make a proposal and I say, this is how I would do it in your environment, the whole thing, consulting. But at the end of it, I get, can't AI do this for me? AI teach my customer?
Well, have you had any luck with it? the issue would be, I think you have to start with that CEO and say, CEO, okay, so what outcome are you caring about? And he or she cares about consumption, right? I need mm-hmm. my customers to consume my product. Great, okay. So do you think education is part of the path to consumption? And if the answer to that is yes, then okay. So then, how urgent is this? And because if you're saying, will AI do this eventually? Sure, AI will do this eventually. You might be out of business at that time, but AI is going to get there eventually. But I think most people are thinking about still human in the loop is the right model for quite a part of this journey. So you cannot be AI. You cannot come to them and say, I won't use AI, and if you use AI, I'm going to leave. You have to be willing to bring AI into the table. Right. But I think you get to bring it at a pace that says, look, what we're really going to evaluate ourselves is not how much AI I use. It's, did we achieve the outcomes within the budget that we allowed? That's what we want to measure ourselves against. And yes, I will start using AI particularly to take busy work off of my table. Like, do you follow Sal Khan at all in the Khan Academy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm in love with Sal. So, but his Khan Amigo is a teacher's aide. Saying, okay, yeah, we need to bring AI to the table, but that's not to replace a teacher.
That's good to hear. I worry about that, though. I really do, because you've mentioned in this, you've talked about empathy, you've talked about the customer, you've talked about human. These are the trends that we're, as educators in SaaS, I specifically niche down into business-to-business software as a service, educational solutions, that's the name of my company, Software Education Solutions. I'm so thrilled about this, but I'm scared too, Jeff, because when I get that objection, I go, yeah, okay, well, go try it. Go try using AI for that. How? How are you going to articulate that? If we lose the human, I mean, maybe eventually our brains go into the cloud, right?
But the brains, we are physical embodied mammals. And this notion that our brains are going to be in a silicon environment is just nuts. But stay with the fact that we're mammals. And by the way, we're social animals and we are emotional animals. And so is there such a thing as empathetic AI? Yeah. This is company Inflection that I've spent some time with yesterday. Mm. And they are one of the four big large language modules, and they've specialized in empathetic AI. So that's great, and then that's going to take off more tasks than needed. But the game there is, so as the AI takes on something, the question is, well, have we run out of problems to solve? I don't know if you looked at the universe recently, but I don't think we're going to run out of problems to solve. I just think we have to migrate human intelligence to the efficient frontier, and wherever AI can do the work, let AI do the work, because we need to do this other work. Now, if you're committed to saying, no, I only do this work that competes with AI, you're in trouble. I mean, if in other words, Darwin insists that you adapt and evolve. And if we don't, then yeah. I mean, but like the firemen on the train. For 30 years, there were firemen on trains with no fires because they had job security. And you can protect jobs for a while. And in fact, I think that's okay. But you can't protect them forever. And so eventually you have to evolve. And AI is not going to stop evolving. So you're not going to legislate it out of existence. You can try to regulate it.
That's it.
Yeah.
We've opened the Pandora's box. Really?
Yeah, we've opened Pandora's box, and I'm okay with that. But well, except for the fact I was okay with it with social media too. And social media's Pandora's box has gotten pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. And one assumes that AI's Pandora's box could get just as ugly, if not uglier. I just think we have to deal with that as it comes. I don't think this notion of trying to head it off or protect ourselves against or legislate guardrails. It's just changing too fast. It's mutating too fast.
It's somewhat out of our control, but okay. Yeah. And we're almost out of time here. I have one more question for you. And this is appealing to you as a teacher, but also a technology, you know, enthusiast and someone who's been in the industry. Is there anything that you are seeing, Jeff, any kind of technological solutions that, Or maybe there is anything that you think we should do different as teachers and educators and enablement people to get to the next step of, like, I really want to be able to drop training and such alongside product, but it's a struggle. And are you seeing any trends or products or platforms that might change the world?
Well, I think the when we tend to think about ourselves as a function, then we're thinking about our productivity, but are there things that will improve our productivity? Yeah, I think something like Slack improves our productivity, and that's great. But I think the loss of impact, because what we're really lamenting is, I wish our function had more impact. I think that impact is less a function of our efficiency and more a function of not being properly connected to the stakeholders that matter. So I would say teachers want to get connected to the end user. They're happy to get connected to the product administrator.
Right.
They're very nervous about being connected to the topic, to the middle executive or the top executive, the sponsors. But if we're going to have the impact we want, that's kind of, you have to actually go the other direction. You really do want to start with, where's the trap value? Who owns the trap value? Why would you institutionalize a solution to this problem? And then here's where training fits. When you're in that model, training is incredibly empowered and it's very impactful. But when the trainer tries to work their way back up the mountain without support from the top down, you make progress. People appreciate what you do, but you kind of feel like you're majoring in minors. Like, you know, you're making a little bit of progress, but not what you would like.
Yeah, I think you've voiced the feeling that I've had and others in my field have had, because I don't really want to elaborate because we were out of time, but it's more about, we can't move mountains on our own without the executive support. So where we, I know Adam and I talk about this a lot, where we focus a lot of our energy is flip the table. How do you come to the table with the things that our executives and senior leadership need to move the needle? That's return on investment. That's performance. But it's different than educators, where we used to have a grade book and the outcomes were, did you get an A or a B? Did you learn something? What did you feel about me as a teacher? That's vanity and petty. Yeah. Because now the mission that I have is one of a, you know, I'm as much into adoption and retention and churn and as anybody, and probably the output of what I can do as an education influencer is a lot more.
Yes.
And we're not measuring it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Here's I think we're at time, so I want to be that take that seriously. Jeff, is there? I want again. This is a great honor for you to be on the show, and it your voice resonates with us. That's why we want to tell people go read the book. It's really relevant to our field. Is there anything you'd like to share about activities, other books you've got, things that you want to spotlight that you have going on with you right now?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff. I'm advising larger companies where Crossing the Chasm was written primarily for startups. Uh-huh. And it was like, how does a startup break into the market? The last book, a business book, was called A Zone to Win. And yeah. Zone to Win was, how would you manage that problem inside a public company, where you're not being funded by venture capital and you have shareholders that are expecting profits this quarter, and yet you still want to invest deeply in something that is not going to be profitable for a long time. And so how do you manage that inside a public company? And that was, it was a book written with Mark Benioff's team at Salesforce.
Oh, cool.
And with Satya Nadella's team at Microsoft. So really, really good people. And so I think it's a very good book. It's called Zone to Win.
Okay.
Yeah, if your audience is in a big company, I would recommend that.
Awesome. Well, I want to recommend, we telescope out and microscope in, and we're all over the continuum. All right. Anything else you want to share with the audience?
All good. I've got to scoot too. And thank you for having me
on
the show.
Okay. Thanks again, Jeff, for being on. I'd love to talk to you more. This has been an honor. Audience, if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education, where you can find show notes and all the other material that we have. And we're also part of the customer education community, where you can connect, learn from, and share your ideas with peers, leaders, and people that make a difference. As always, we're on LinkedIn. Special thanks to Alan Cota for amazing theme music. And make sure you get out there on Spotify and Apple and give us a 5-star review. Thanks, everybody. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Cheers.